Ezekiel 34 this morning. The main portion this morning is going to be 11 through the remainder of the chapter, but I'm going to read the entire chapter this morning. Please stand for the reading of God's word. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep, and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered, on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, and a drink of clear water that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. I will make with them a covenant of peace, and banish wild beasts from the land, so that they may dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing. And I will send down the showers in their season, they shall be showers of blessing. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase, and they shall be secure in their land. And they shall know that I am the Lord, when I break the bars of their yoke and deliver them from the hand of those who enslave them. They shall no more be a prey to the nations, nor shall the beasts of the land devour them. They shall dwell securely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will provide for them renowned plantations, so that they shall no more be consumed with hunger in the land, and no longer suffer the reproach of the nations. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord God, and you are my sheep. human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the Lord God. So verse 1 through 10 begins with a prophecy against the shepherds of Israel. They've been feeding themselves with what should have gone to the people. They take for themselves when they should have been caring for the sheep. They do not heal the sick. They do not bound up the injured. They have not sought after those sheep who have strayed off. They were brutal and cruel to the Lord's flock, ruling in harshness. And while the sheep wandered, the shepherds fattened themselves. They fed off of the sheep. And of these, the Lord has a proclamation of judgment. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts since there was no shepherd, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hands. What could be more fearful? What could inspire more dread in any people than to hear from God Almighty, I am against you? So they failed in shepherding God's flock. And this is the context that we see the main point of this passage, is that God himself will be their shepherd. God himself will raise David's greater son, who shall be prince over them. God himself will gather them together and be with them as their God. He is the true shepherd, and he is the shepherd over his own flock. So if you leave with nothing else, remember that God himself is the shepherd of his flock. So all throughout the Old Testament, we have types and foretastes of what would be the true shepherd. We see Moses, Joshua, and King David, and others. They are the shepherds who led Israel, who led God's flock, but all, each of them, they're only a shadow of what God had planned. So with these other shepherds, we see that some served relatively well, some served rather terribly. But David, who is a figurehead, he brought in the Old Testament kingdom, the land inheritance of Israel. He secured the land. He fought off the nations who tried to lay claim there. But even he, as you well know, he failed miserably. But even throughout most of his life, he served relatively well. He always pointed to someone who was greater than himself. But he was just a picture of one who was to come, and a wonderful picture. David, who was born least in his family, the last son, he was a shepherd of the sheep. And after David and after Solomon, after him, at the height of Israel's power, there's just this downward spiral into more and more sin. And even though God is gracious through it all, preserving his people, he never cuts them off completely. Until we get to Ezekiel's time here, when the shepherds only feed themselves. These men were to lead in holiness, in love and kindness, to care for the sheep. And instead, they're so fraught with wickedness and sin that they themselves prey on the flock. They become fat while the sheep become more and more lean. There's a famine of godly men in Ezekiel's time, of a famine of being taught the way of the Lord, of being built up to serve God. And the sheep wander aimlessly, sheep without a shepherd. And what is God's response here? It is not to cut himself off from the straying sheep, but he seeks them himself. He goes after them. He searches for them. Even when straying from the Lord seems to be an inherent and necessary trait of his flock, he still seeks them out. You just think of how many times, especially in the Old Testament, you hear the phrase, "Oh, you stiff-necked people." He's talking about us. and he himself searches us out. And we see here in our passage this emphatic use of the pronoun, I myself, God says, will be their shepherd. Why? Because they're his sheep. There's this beautiful repetition, not only of God saying, I myself, which is supposed to be astonishing to listening ears. God himself will come down and search for the straying sheep, but there's also this repetition of my sheep, my flock, my hill, and my pasture. The sheep are the treasured possession of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6 says, you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. The shepherd has purchased his flock at great cost to himself. You are not your own. You are his. What an amazing picture of God's love for his people. That he himself will seek out his sheep when we continually go astray. He doesn't push his flock away. He rescues them. He brings them in from all the places that they've been scattered. He brings them to himself. Verse 13 through 16 tells us where he brings them to a place of abundance, to the mountains of Israel. He brings them to good pasture, a place of rich soil where they will lie in safety. God himself, he says, will make you lie down in pastures green in safety. Not a threat in the world to worry his flock. Can you imagine that? The intimacy between the Lord and his people. God leading you near to him, leading you by the hand and laying you down in the pastures and saying rest, protecting you and watching over you. Isaiah 40, verse 10 through 11, it says, behold, the Lord God comes with might and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. I love this. It's God Almighty coming in might and strength and power. This divine majesty and divine authority. And he's gently carrying in his arms little sheep. Such a strong picture of power and might. And there's so much gentleness and love. This is your God carrying you in his arms, bringing you to a place of rich beauty. But this promise of abundance and this place of safety was not a promise that the land of Israel in Ezekiel's time would be restored. But this was looking far ahead. What was left at Israel was still longing for that day. And it's a day in which we still long for. And God inaugurated this work with Jesus Christ. Verse 16 says, I will seek the lost and I will bring back the strayed. And I will bind up the injured and I will strengthen the weak. And the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Verse 2 through 6. This is when John the Baptist sends his disciples to Jesus. Matthew 11, 2 through 6. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear and the dead are raised up. And the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. The injured are healed. Lepers were cleansed in Jesus' day. The dead are raised to life. And the poor have good news preached to them. It is Jesus in whom this work was started, and it is Jesus who will not let that work that he has started in you falter. He has claim on his sheep, and he will not let his sheep go astray forever. He will take his sheep and he will lead them to a place of abundant life, to that place of safety and security where he himself will be shepherd of his flock. But as was in Ezekiel's day, so too in Jesus' day, there are those who are offended at the Christ. The fat and the strong, he says, he will feed them in justice. How much greater is the judgment of the Lord for those who are meant to be keepers of his sheep? There are those, of course, who are not of the flock of God who creep into the church. We see warnings against these in many of the epistles, the letters in the New Testament. But there are also those who are of the flock, who know their shepherd, and yet fail miserably in the work that they are meant to do. They take for themselves, serving themselves rather than the people of God. But God is gracious. He will judge between sheep and sheep, he says. He looks down at his shepherds and he set up and who have taken for themselves and then muddy the water for all the others. But they're still his sheep. He doesn't take those who wander and who lead others astray and utterly destroy them. In verse 11, God says, I myself will search for my sheep. And then in 20 again, he says, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean. The first is a merciful picture of God's grace and his love. And the second is a terrifying pronouncement of God's justice, his rebuke for the shepherds who are leading astray. And yet he still, even in that, demonstrates abundant mercy. Yes, he will separate the goats from the sheep, but he will separate sheep from sheep. Because he will set over both one shepherd. One shepherd who will humble those sheep who are leading astray. He will bring them low, and he will bring up the sheep who are lean and lowly. Again in Matthew he says, but many who are first will be last and the last first. If some men in their sin would exalt themselves, God will bring them low. He will put those men back into their place. They will be least in the kingdom of heaven, but they will still be in the kingdom of heaven. What a gracious God we have to show such abundant love and mercy. But those shepherds, they've completely forgotten what their work is. The work of a shepherd is not to be exalted. It's not for personal gain. It is work of humble obedience and service. For example, getting on your hands and knees during Sunday school and cleaning up a mess, as our pastor did this morning. When Jesus had risen from the dead, he came and spoke to Peter and three times said, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Jesus Christ, after he had risen, what was his concern? His concern is only for his sheep. And so here in the New Testament, we see the true nature of what it means to be a shepherd. What it means for God to be shepherd over us. In John 10, Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. When God in Ezekiel 34 is saying, I myself will be shepherd over my flock, he is saying, I myself will lay down my life for my sheep. And so here, in what we get in the New Testament so enriches the Old. That God is not merely coming down to his people as if that were not enough. It's not merely God taking his sheep by hand and leading them to life everlasting. It is God saying, I myself will pay what is necessary for my sheep. God himself paid the ultimate price for his human sheep. He bought you with a price. And what has he purchased you into? A covenant of peace. These last six verses, again, they're not speaking about a restitution of the land of Israel, but something far greater. Showers of blessing. The trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase, and they shall live securely in the land. There's a reversal here of the curse brought on by man's sin. And our hope is that God will make the world anew. He will bring you to a place of abundant life and beauty. And that is the hope that we long for. But even now, if you are in Christ today, you are already a new creature, made alive in Christ. If you are in Christ, then God has removed from you the heart of stone from your flesh and put in you a heart of flesh and filled you with his Spirit. And that is the spiritual reality which this table represents, life everlasting, secured for you in the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, the true and good shepherd of his sheep. But if you are not in Christ today, as you will hear momentarily, this table is not for you. But the invitation goes out to you. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Repent and believe in Jesus Christ, the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. It was God's plan to crush him for you. And that invitation is for you to join in the flock of the Lord. And this will be your hope. And it is the hope of all good God's people. These last two verses of this chapter. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God with them. And that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord God. And you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture. And I am your God, declares the Lord God. You're his sheep, brought into his place, his pasture, which he prepares for you. That is our hope, and that is our joy. And we are called to live in it as sheep of the Good Shepherd. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the joy that is set before us. The joy and the hope that we have as people of your flock. Lord, we thank you for those men who have been faithful shepherds serving your flock, and we ask for those who would lead astray that you would humble them, but show them grace and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins, that we have been purchased by your grace and by the blood of our precious Savior. We ask that you would be with us, and as we prepare to take these elements, that you would humble our hearts and that we would look to you in love and with repentance. And we ask that you would forgive us of our sins, even now as we come before you confidently knowing that you have promised, if you repent, that you, Lord, are faithful to forgive. In Jesus' name, amen.